You will be taking your Bibles and turning with me to the book of Joshua chapter 4. You brave souls who have come out in this cold temperature to join us this morning. Hopefully you will leave blessed this morning. And of course, it looks as though we're going to need to get the word out about what we're talking about today, because what we're going to be discussing is so very important. In the years to come, what I hope we will do is to adopt this Sunday, or perhaps on the calendar, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, as Gratitude Sunday, because I know, having been a Christian, a follower of Christ now for nearly 30 years, I can tell you, I know God is going to be faithful every single year. And every single year, you and I are going to have the opportunity to stop and say that He has been faithful. And so our praise is ever on His lips. And we can take a moment to just pause and say, wow, God, you were good to us during that previous year. Well, for us, this year, it's coming to an end very quickly. Seems like it just started, but it's 2025, and God has been richly good to us as a church here. During my dissertation, one of the things that I had to do, because the topic was on the development of an intentional plan to preach without notes appropriate for people with vision impairment. And part of the objective of that project was to think about remembering, like what creates memory in the minds of people who hear things or who want to say things. And so a principal part of my project centered around three topics, three objectives that we really need to adopt if we're going to remember the things that we want to remember. I'm not alone with that, I hope. Like, how many of you would like to have a better memory in 2026? Like, I don't just want a second brain. I need a third or a fourth one that I need to access all the time, because I'm constantly, like, just trying to hang on to things. Well, we're told by those who study this topic very deeply that there are three ways that we can create memory and reminding. It comes through impression. In other words, the thing needs to be important or significant. We aren't very good at remembering random facts. That's why none of you remember the name of your old girlfriend before you got married, right? She's not that impressive. So, but impression is very important. Number two, association. It needs to be connected to other things that you do know. And so if you know something about this topic and you add a little bit of something to it, it connects. And you're connecting perhaps that to some point in your life, or how it makes sense in your marriage or your job. And so you're connecting it to other things. And so that helps us to remember. And then finally, repetition. So we hear it over and over and over again. We hear it over and over and over again. We hear it over, I'm going to keep doing this until you laugh, at over repetition. So those are the points: impression, association, repetition. When we open up Joshua chapter 4, what we see is that God is doing this same, performing these same tasks in the minds of the people, because He wants them to remember this moment. Why is this so important to God? Well, it's important because they, like us, are apt to forget. I read a statistic the other day, and it was a very troubling statistic, but it's just a fact. These are numbers. They aren't very pliable. They're just truths. You and I will forget in 2026 97% of what happens to us during a year. We will only remember for that following year only about 3% of what happens to us in that year. That's stunning, isn't it? And of course, I know for you all, like, that 3% is going to be what happens here during this 30, 45-minute section of the week. And so there goes everything else, right? We need to remember, but it's so hard to do so. And especially when we're talking about the things that God has done. Because I don't know about you, but my faith, my trust in God is really, like, it's inspired and fueled by my memory of His faithfulness in the past. The things, the areas where I've seen God work in my younger years, And I've seen how he has been consistent and unchanging and loving. And even whenever it did not feel loving, on the other side of that event, I realized how faithful God was. Well, I now have a bank of that like you do, where I'm able to go back in that repository and remind myself that this feels like that. And this looks like this time. And even though the circumstances may have changed, God has been faithful through it all. And so Joshua, by the power of the Spirit and the guidance of God's Word, is bringing the people to the edge of the Jordan River. He's been leading them now for a short period of time. Moses has just died, and now Joshua has taken the leadership, and the people are being directed by God to cross the Jordan River at flood stage. It's not the best time to do so. Now, God, it wasn't an accident that God brought them there to that river at that particular point in time. It's true for you as well as for me that sometimes God brings us around a bend and he lands us in a space and it feels like, man, the timing is just all off on this because the money's not there. The resources aren't there. I don't feel ready. And here it is, this river that sets before you and it's flowing at flood stage. And there you are, forced to trust God. So here they are on the brink of the river, and you know the story. If you've been in church very long, God tells Joshua that the Ark of the Covenant's going to go before the people, and when the sole of the priest touches the bank of the river, right where it touches the water, that the water is going to dry up. And what God had done for their forefathers at the Red Sea, he is now going to do for them there at the Jordan River. And of course, once they cross the river, the job isn't done, is it? Like now they have to conquer the land. The people who are in the land, the violent and the abusive idolaters, the Canaanites who are there, they have to be pushed out of the land. And so there's a lot of work to be done. And for me, I don't know about you, but whenever there's a lot of work to be done, the last thing I want to do is to stop and think about the past. When there's a lot of work to be done, what I really want to do is I don't want to think about the past. I want to think about the future. What's the next step? What's the next process? Who do I need to call? What kind of problems do I need to be ready for? And in that moment, God stops Joshua and he says to Joshua in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he says, here's what you really need to do. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and you can imagine like how long that took because these people weren't walking around with name badges and they weren't like organized necessarily into easy to reach groups. When you got a million people, you know, you're not just calling them, you're not texting them. You got to go out and find these 12 men. Take these 12 men and find 12 stones from here. Take 12 stones from here. In the midst of the Jordan River, here in the dry riverbed, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Now, God's creating something here. He's forcing the people to pause so that they can lay a framework for the future of reminding, so that they will not forget that this thing right here happened. How many of you have ever seen God work in such a powerful way in your life that you thought you would just never forget it? A bill that came that you just knew you could not pay, but somehow it got paid. A medical trauma in your life or the life of a loved one that you prayed about, and you lifted it up to God, and you didn't know how it was going to work out, but somehow God made it work through or brought you through that hard time, and you felt it. And you just knew like you would never forget that again, and then some years later, a similar thing happens, and you forget. I've done it countless times, where I'm just so absolutely sure that this time, Lord, okay, good. This time, I got it. I really, really got it. And yet, I forget. So God knew that his people would one day forget. And so he says, you're going to take these stones out of the middle of this raging river. And the Jordan River, even at that time, was much wider than it is today, because today everything's managed through irrigation systems. It was much, much wider. This was something of a task. And God says, you're going to bring these stones out of the middle of this river as a testimony to the fact that you once came across on dry ground, and put them up in Gilgal and stack those stones up there as a testimony for what God has done. Church, I'm just going to tell you that God has been good to us here in this church in the past year. Remarkably good to us. And I'm going to show you just a few ways how here in the hopefully through the text in the coming moments. And what I want you to see through this is that what God is calling them to do to create this moment of remembrance in the past in preparation for the future is he's calling them to look back in thanksgiving. He's calling them to look around in service. And he's calling them to look forward in anticipation. Let's look at this together. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 5. God calls them to look back in anticipation. Pass over before the ark of the... Here's what he's telling him to do. Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. For what reason? Lord, I'm never going to forget. I'm going to hang on to it. Of course, God knew that they would. In fact, whenever they get into the land, if you know anything about the book of Judges that follows the book of Joshua, you knew they very soon forgot. But God isn't just thinking about them. How many of you know that? That God isn't simply thinking about us. He's thinking about those who come after us. Those church members who will be filling these pews. Those children who will be doing the work that you're currently doing and the generations to come. And God looks at them and he's concerned about them. And he says to the people, when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over. When we passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. An example of what God has done for them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful that we do not forget what God has done for us. But of course, there's a problem. Like, how do we measure what God has done for us? Because sometimes we want to measure the success of a church by what it accomplishes. Now, as I told you, whenever I arrived here a little over a year ago, we have to be very careful about that. Because the truth is, some of the most successful people in Scripture were not very effective according to the world's standards of things. Jeremiah, Isaiah, who was told by God, your ministry is essentially going to be a ministry where people are not going to hear you. I am sending you out, in fact, so that you will not be heard. How many of you would like to sign up for that job? I'm going to send you back here to work on these kids, to teach these kids, but I just want you to know, primarily the reason I'm sending you back there is so that you're not heard. Right? Sunday school teachers, preachers, like, we want to be heard. And yet, the truth is, we can glorify God even though we aren't heard. So how do we measure our success as a church? How do we measure the areas where we know we should be thankful? Well, I'm going to suggest to you that we measure them against our core values. Now, you remember these. They're hopefully becoming more and more familiar to you. The three core values are: we have one source of authority. This means we make decisions based on Scripture and Scripture alone, because Scripture is profitable for reproof, for teaching, for correction in righteousness. It's profitable for all those things, so that the man of God, so that the person of God, can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Secondly, our second core value is we have one manner of living. That is, we love. We love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. This is what Jesus told the disciples and those around him that day. All of the law hangs on these two truths. And thirdly, we have one purpose for being, that is the gospel. This is why we exist, to help others believe, live, and share the gospel of Christ for the glory of God. How have we seen God work this year in these particular categories? We've seen God work in profound ways. I'm going to tell you that as a church, we are busier than any other church I've served in. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I looked at the calendar, and the calendar, with all respect for my last two churches, they were great places, loving people, love them to death. The calendars of those two churches added together would not equate to the calendar that we run here at CBC. I mean, it's a busy environment with lots of opportunity to prove and to show that Scripture is our one source of authority through Sunday school and through our midweek Bible studies led by our Sunday school teacher and Brother Carey. We had a number of Bible studies that were held here at the church, and I don't think this is all of them, by the way. We're doing this from memory, and of course, we're only remembering about 3% of what we're supposed to remember. So don't take this as the final authority, but a lot of things went on. The Art of Marriage, Truth for a Reason, the Ecclesiastes study, the Mountain of Manhood study, Not Alone. All of those studies have multiple weeks of gathering around God's Word. We have opportunities, we've shared opportunities to show love to one another through ministries to our children. The first year that we have had the greatest show, the one-day VBS, the ladies' kickoff, mothers and others, fathers. I mean, these are all kinds of opportunities for us to get together. My favorite down here is the second to last in this chart where it says seasonal church meals. I counted them up and I counted six. I thought there were only four seasons. But somehow we managed to have six seasonal meals at this church when we only have four seasons. I mean, like, you guys are, I mean, you know, way above, like, you're raising the bar in how we love one another. And then finally, to share the gospel. And this is where it's all pointing to, the reason we take in Scripture, the reason we are learning to love people who are in this church and outside this church is so we can do this thing. We can minister the gospel. We had two discovery classes this year, ministry team leadership luncheons where we're developing and gathering around a table and trying to decide, okay, how are we going to make the gospel known in this community? Several of those, the National Day of Prayer, Stitchers for Kids, where they gave away, it's not on here, but I think it was around 18 quilts, I think it is. I mean, that's huge, right? I mean, there are moms who have kids now, working with the PRC, and those blankets made by our people here at this church are now part of that story. It's remarkable, all the stuff that God has allowed us to do here in this church this year. Let me just draw your attention to just a few highlights. This year we had our first Wilderness Trail where we gave away over 500 Faith for a Reason gospel tags where the QR code could be scanned. It takes them to a particular part of our website where they can go and find answers to some of the most difficult questions they may have. We have a new parenting class started by Bob and Donna Barbetti where we are committing ourselves to engaging and supporting and ministering to young families. That's not just something we say. If you're a young family here in this room or watching online, I want you to know when we say we want young families to come to this church, we're not wanting you here because we want eye candy, because we want to look good as a church that doesn't have just a bunch of old gray fuddy-duddies like myself and a couple of others of you. We want you to minister, be ministered to. It's what we're looking for. That's what we're reaching for. If you come here, like, you're going to be loved and encouraged. We're committed to that. And then finally, the partnership with community groups, for example, like The Vine we started this year. You may not know it, but at this church, we have kids who are in this space throughout the week. Over 130 kids meet here every single week to learn not just how to think and how to count and how to spell. Those are rare qualities these days in some circles, but they're learning how to do it in a biblically inspired environment as they also learn God's Word. All of this together, we have had 75 events here at this church this past year. Over and above Sunday morning, Wednesday, over 75 times There have been groups who have met here at this church to minister, to serve, to gather around God's word, to love one another. That's more than 1.5 events per week. That's huge. It's enormous. This year, we had 7 baptisms, and that, for me, is the number above all that just blesses my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that we have a couple of young ladies, a couple of not quite so young ladies and men, and we are gathered together and coming here to learn, and God moved in their heart to become followers of Him. And the thing I love about this most of all is that several of these folks, they didn't get saved in one of our worship services. I'm cool with that if they do, all day, every day. Several of these ladies were saved as they got with their parents, and their parents led them to Jesus. Let me just tell you, like, I don't need notches on my belt. I would much rather raise up a church where the parents, the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents, the aunts and the uncles were bringing into this church people who they led to Jesus. Man, that's the kind of space I want to be in. That's what God is doing here in this space. And we have to pause and to appreciate and be thankful for what He has done here in this space. Number two, we're not just looking back, but we're also looking around. Now watch what happens here. We're told in this passage that the people of Israel did just as Joshua had commanded them, that they took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan River according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord had told them. Now, I found that very interesting some months ago as I was reading through this passage in my devotional time. I kind of imagined myself being Joshua, a million people scurrying around doing all kinds of things. I mean, it's busy beyond anything I could possibly imagine. And God comes to him and says, I want you to go find one person out of each tribe, bring them back here to carry stones out of the middle of this river. Now, my inclination, I'm going to confess to you because my family's not in here. As a pastor, if God came to me and said, 12 stones, you need to take them out of the river and take them to this other side. I had a wife and 3 kids. Carrie, I know what I would have done. I would have said, each of you grab 3 stones and follow me. That's what I would have done. Just would have been easy. And for Joshua, it would have been that easy as well for him to get with his people, his circle of influence. But God said, no, you go out and get the people to do this. Why is he doing that? Why is he making this job so much harder on Joshua? Well, he's doing it because, the truth is, he's doing it because he wants everyone to be involved. He wants them all to be involved. Can I just tell you, God wants each and every one of you to be involved in the ministry here. And I know most of you are. I just celebrate this, that usually churches have what's referred to as the 80-20 rule, where 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. I've looked over the membership roles and the active participant roles here at the church, and I can tell you we are far beyond that, thank God. That it's probably 40 or 50% of the people who are doing a greater portion of the work, and even that other 50 or 60% are often engaged in some way. Thank God for you. Listen, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for its location, right here on the edge of Christiansburg, right up against Shawsville and growing Ellistown as Roanoke is making its way this way. This is a great location for ministry, ladies and gentlemen. We have huge opportunities here as God brings new faces into this space. It's going to be a lot of fun in the coming years. I thank God for the building that we have here. I mean, we've got a wonderful facility. Everyone who comes into this space, I mean, I meet them all the time. Vendors come in and they talk about how beautiful this space is. It's incredible. Do you know what is really special about this place? We can all pack up tomorrow and go down to some storefront and do church together, and we are going to be every bit as unique and special in the eyes of God as if we stayed right here in this space, because the church isn't an address, it's not a building, the church is you. I thank God for you and the way that you are actively involved in the ministry of this church. Let me encourage you, those of you who maybe are kind of taking a break, and I respect that, or maybe you're like, I don't really know my space and I need to find it. I'm going to tell you, just to encourage you with the same words I've used before, if you're called to salvation, you are called to service. It's the least that we can do. It's our reasonable service to yield ourselves as a living, active, child watching, floor sweeping, Bible studying, handshaking, bulletin passing outer, whatever, person. It's our reasonable service to do this for him because of what he has done for us. And let me just say this too. If you are not contributing to this church in a way of service, and again, I know sometimes it's appropriate to take a break, take a step back, and just pause. And again, I respect that. But if your mode is just to come and to be a spectator, sooner or later, you are going to despise this place. You will. Because you'll feel guilty about it. The Spirit of God will press on your heart the need to be involved. And if you're not involved, it's just going to make you bitter and angry. And sooner or later, and I've seen it over and over again, you'll just despise this place. The same is true of giving, by the way. If I can just meddle for a minute, you guys mind if I do that? Like if you're not contributing here in this thing with both your talents and your treasures and the work that we're doing here and the special place that God has given us on this side of Montgomery County, can I just tell you, like, that's not going to go to a healthy place for you. Because Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And if you're not investing here in this space, the reality is sooner or later, the only thing you're going to think of is just how terrible it is, which you will eventually use to justify why you're not giving. I've seen it over and over again. I don't need your money. I'm just telling you. I've seen God come through, and we could have talked about that in the previous section about how God came through with the finances, and Tim will touch on that here in just a few minutes, how that God has been faithful over and over again. But I'm telling you, the one thing as your pastor that I want for you is God's best, and God's best comes as you and I commit both our talent and our treasure to the work that he has called us to do in the place where he has put us. Look around for service. Can I just ask you, are you looking around for a place to serve? Are you looking around for the thing that you're called to do? Or are you looking around for the thing that someone else isn't yet doing? The thing that needs to get done. Like if God's laying that on your heart and you see the thing that needs to get done, it may be the case that you're seeing it because God wants you to do it. Well, later this year, there'll be opportunities online for you to see and learn a place, right, where you can sign up to serve. And if you are looking for your space, get with me and get with one of the elders. We'll help you to find your space. All right, so look back, look around, and then finally, look ahead. Look ahead in anticipation. At the end of the chapter, Joshua, now the people across the river, tells them once again, that when your children ask in times to come, ask the fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell your children that Israel passed over the Jordan River. Why is he doing this? Why is he repeating this? Why is he repeating it, church? So they don't forget it. Because repetition is part of memory, and so it's being repeated so that they can remember why it is that they went through all of this work. For the Lord, your God, dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed all the way over, just as he did for your forefathers at the Red Sea. Again, he's repeating it. Let me just pause there for a second and say, the reason why some of this stuff is so important is because every generation must have its own encounter with God. So he said he did it for your fathers, and so he did it for you, and the purpose for that, look here at the last phrase, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. That's why we do what we do. And as we look forward in anticipation to what God is going to allow us to do in 2026, this is the objective. I mean, yeah, we want to see the numbers. We want to see the baptisms. We want to see the salvations. We want to see the moves. We want to see the increases. We want to see the empty seats fill up. But at the end of the day, what we really want to do is to show this, that God has been mighty among us. And even though we may be few in number, God has done incredibly great things so that the world may look at CBC and recognize that it's not them that has accomplished any of this. It's not them. It is the mighty hand of God. And then secondly, he says, so that you also may fear the Lord your God forever. This is why we do what we do. We do it. We set up these moments to recognize what God has done so that we can show the world how great God is, and so that we can remember ourselves how great He is and fear and respect His power that He uses among us. Now, very quickly, this means for us, I'm going to suggest for you that as a church, we're going to focus in on a lot of objectives and goals throughout 2026. The calendar is thick for next year. It's going to be a lot of fun. I would dare say I'm going to stand up next to you, and it may be that we have seven seasonal dinners in a four-season year. But in particular, there are four areas where we want to focus. Number one, we want to focus on equipping the church. Out in the fellowship center here, the foyer, we are going to begin to include those little Faith for a Reason tags that we used at the Wilderness Trail, along with a growing group of resources to equip you as the church, to equip us to go out and to share the faith. Because that's the job of the church, the primary objective of the church. Go read Ephesians 4. The primary objective of any church is to equip its members to do the work of ministry. That's what we do here. That's why our purpose at this church is to, together, our purpose is to help others believe, live, and share the gospel of Christ for the glory of God. We're going to do more as a church to equip you with that. Number two, to improve our area for guest connection. Anita and her team do a great job at being a friendly, welcoming face here at this church. But one of the things that we want to do is to make sure that we're able to continue connecting with people after that moment. And so Randy has agreed to help us to forge a path where we are connecting with these guests, not just while they're here as they walk in the door, but throughout the worship service and, most importantly, after. So that is going to be a priority this year. Thirdly, family ministry is going to continue to be a priority, because if we say that we want to minister to young families and that we know things are tough for them and that they have to be encouraged, we have to invest ourselves in that particular ministry. Thank God for the work that Bob and Donna are doing, but I'm going to tell you, they cannot do it if there's not someone there to help watch the kids. Yes. Yes, this has become an application about nursery. Again, we need you. Kathy Cook has been so kind to step in back there and to do that work. And sometimes some of you will go back in and you'll drop in and you'll help her with that. But like, we need additional hands to the plow, because I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating that God is going to send us more families. And if we're going to do that, we have to be ready for it. That brings us to objective number four in 2026, and that is the continued migration to elder-led governance. We've been talking about this for a while. In spring of 2026, we're going to have a season of emphasis here in the pulpit to explain what we're doing, the true nature and purpose of a church, and why it is that we're choosing this model and what it's going to look like. And we're going to continue migrating towards that particular objective. And I'm here to tell you, I mean, I am thrilled for this, because we have some incredible men who are serving on the elder and deacon board. And in fact, we are about to bring someone else in under watch care for the deacon ministry here at the church, by the way, of Matthew Frederick, who is just his family. I don't know if he's in the room or not. Love that family. Love Matt. Love his heart. And so we're continuing to add to that leadership, those leadership spheres as a church in 2026. Now, the other thing that we're doing in this year is we are onboarding presently a church secretary. Now, this is where the faith part comes in at it, because last year, as we put together the budget, finances were really tight, and we weren't sure how it was going to work out, and we're kind of all in the room with our calculators, punching to figure out how the thing was going to work. And then afterwards, from January up to now, giving has increased by a little over 10%. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Praise God for His faithfulness to you, that He's blessed you with the jobs that He's blessed you and the increases that He's blessed you with, and the heart to continue to give. And what that means is, like, when we presented that budget to you last year, I'm going to tell you, like, we were like thinking there was going to be like maybe a 5 or 10% shortfall last year. In my mind, I thought it could be as high as 15 or 20%. That doesn't thrill me, you know, but we're trusting God with this thing. So far this year, we only have a little over a 3% deficit in the budget. It's remarkable. God is good. He's good to you, right, church? Not just to give you what he gives you, but to inspire you with a heart of generosity, which is nothing if not good for your health. God's been good to us. And so we're investing that and moving forward and continuing to trust God by onboarding a secretary, because this is a very, very busy church. There's a lot to do. Your leaders are under a lot of pressure to make sure things are done right, and we want them to be done excellently. And so a couple of months ago, Yvette started to help us. Borkert. You know that memory thing we were talking about earlier? So Yvette Borkert has been helping us kind of organize some things in the office. And so we've been kind of migrating her towards that position. She's outstanding for that job. I can't believe we didn't do this sooner. I've been working with Kerry now for over a year, getting his insights and his wisdom and just listening to what he would say and taking all that in. He has so many good ideas. And then having worked with Yvette for a couple of months, I'm completely convinced those were all her ideas. She just gave them to him. Now, I know for some of you, like, you look at the budget and you're like, well, Pastor, if we're 3% down and you're talking about bringing someone on, can we really do that? And the answer is, yeah, we have to do it. And by the way, we've already been stopping her some, so that's kind of baked into the budget a little bit of what we've been seeing this year. But really, none of that really matters. None of that really matters. The only thing that matters is there a place for this need in the ministry? And the answer is yes. And so the only other question that I have for us, a very challenging question, is, are we trusting God based on what he has or based on what we have? Are we trusting God with what he has in store for us on the loading dock of his good hand to bring to us in 26? Are we going to trust him? Are we trusting him with what he's going to bring to us, what he's going to give to us? Or are we going to trust him with what we have in 2025? I'm here to tell you, my hope is that every single year as we minister together, that we serve faithfully and wisely, but at the same time with incredible boldness. I'm working on this in my own heart to be more bold with you and for you. And this isn't even bold, because, you know, 3% is not very much, and God has blessed us with a reserve so that we can handle that next year. It's a great opportunity, and so you'll hear more about that here in a second. I'm almost done, and then the guys are going to come up and just share a few proposals very quickly for next year. And here's what I want to say to you, if you are not signed up for our bulletin, so that you can stay in touch, up to date on these 75 events that are happening here every single year, plus some, then here's what you need to do. I'm just going to leave this up while we pray here in a second. And you just need to quietly, you know, just to take your phone and just scan that QR code and get signed up for that bulletin. If you don't have the Church Center app installed on your phone, you got to do that. It's such a great resource. Like, if you need a phone number, it's on there. If you need an address, it's on there. If you need to know what's happening and who's in charge of something, it's on Church Center. We are currently working on, there's several things we could talk about here, but we've been beta testing a 5-day devotional based on the sermon each week. And so that's been up for a couple of months. I've been working out the kinks on it. And what I mean by that is trying to stay disciplined enough to get it up in time for you. And so I've got, I think, most of the kinks worked out on it. You know where that's going to be at? Church Center. You download the Church Center app. It's so easy. You scan the QR code. You go to your app store. You download it. It's going to pop up and say, hey, what church are you with? And if you don't know what church you're with, you're at Christiansburg Baptist Church right now. You may not know. I don't want to assume, right? And so that's where you are. You search for that here in Christiansburg, and you get this access to quick access to the events, to the prayer guide, to the Bible studies, to the calendar, to Right Now Media, to the devotional guides, and even to the sermons. It's all right there just right there on the home screen of the app. And so you don't want to miss that. And so that I want to encourage you, because if we're going to do this, if we're going to look back at what God has done, then we're going to have to be involved. If we're going to look around for the service opportunities that are abundant here, we're going to have to be involved and connected. And if we're going to look forward and plan for the future, recognizing that the next generation must have its own encounter with God, we have to be connected. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for us right now, just as kind of a transition, so that we can cut the feed online. If you're online and you're a church member, we're going to be sending you out the pamphlet details of everything we're going to be talking about here in a few minutes. So if you're a church member, don't sweat it. Call any time. We'll get you connected with the details that you need to have. But they're going to cut that feed here in a second. I'm going to pray for us. And then Mike's going to come up and talk about a few proposals. And then Tim's going to come up. We'll be done in just a few minutes. So, Father, we are so very grateful for you that you have been so remarkably faithful to us. This, what has happened here in 2025 at this church, is only just a glimpse. I mean, we just scratched the surface of what we know has happened here in this church in the past year. And Lord, we know you've done so much more than even what we could put on paper. Now, we ask that you would just help us to be mindful of this, because the truth is, if we aren't grateful, we will be bitter. If we aren't looking at what you have done for us, we will be looking around at what we don't have and counting your goodness based on the gaps of the things that you've withheld from us, instead of looking at the graciousness you have rained down on us. Lord, would you please help us as your people to have this spirit of gratitude that looks back and then looks around and then looks forward with tremendous anticipation. We thank you for the opportunities that we have here at this church. Help us to never take it for granted.